Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, real quick text. We had Michael Chiklis on earlier. He's got a movie called The Senior. It's going to be in theaters on Friday this week. Independent movie. So he's doing the grassroots thing and getting out on stations all over the country to get word out about this. Text message. Hey, guys, I just watched the trailer for The Senior. I'm definitely going to watch it.
It looks
weekend.
Like it. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm going to go see it.
I honestly, and he was talking about it. I was joking with him about how I think it was a bad influence because it inspired me to maybe, like, I wanted to go out and run. And I ran. I should have been on the elliptical instead. But it's a 59, it's based on the true story. This happened in Texas. 59-year-old. A guy who went back and used his final year of eligibility to play college football at the age of 59.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker.
Linebacker.
In real life. I don't know if they treat Chiklis as a linebacker in the movie or not.
One of the things I was going to ask him was, you know, in the trailer, there's a lot of hitting that goes on in the trailer.
Yeah.
And he answered the question before it had to be asked. It sounds like he was doing all his own stunts, so to speak.
Yeah, they make it, from the trailer, it looked like the football action looks pretty realistic.
Yeah.
They have a company that they work with that does all, they use action. You know, these movies when you see, like, the offensive linemen are just, they're big fat guys where they don't look athletic at all. And you're watching and you're like, I get it, but this, it just looks so stupid.
The Replacements was the worst.
Yeah.
The movie with Keanu Reeves playing quarterback. Keanu Reeves was the most realistic out of all of them. And that says something.
Right.
Because he had no business being a quarterback. That's my only glitch with The Sopranos. Sopranos, sports stuff in The Sopranos, incredibly unrealistic.
Oh, really?
AJ playing football in high school.
But he wasn't good at it.
He wasn't. Well, they had him make a play, but like none of the, like,
yeah.
Meadow playing soccer, like the soccer scenes are so unrealistic.
Oh, I remember the soccer scenes. It's like a bunch of girls just standing straight up and
running with their arms by their sides.
Yeah.
Meadow's playing.
That's right.
Meadow's playing goalie with her hands up like jazz hands.
Yeah, and they're supposed to. It's supposed to be a good team too.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like running up to the ball like she's afraid of it.
Well,
like a kid seeing a live pitcher for the first time or
and
something.
And Silvio comes out of the crowd to kick dirt on the referee.
Oh, like, yeah. No,
and the other parents are cheering him for doing it. I'm like,
Tony never made it as a varsity athlete. It's just like, how can this guy be as big badass? That part of it, yeah, okay.
He never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
Never had the makings of a varsity. Yeah. So he was on JV as a senior. Yeah. Like a guy that size and with his violence streak, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. Never had the makings of a varsity athlete. That was the insult that got under his skin.
I know.
A lot.
I know. It would me too if I were that big and mean.
You never had the makings
of the problem with most big kids in high school is that they're not mean enough.
Right.
You know, they're gentle giants. Like, Tony had it all.
Yeah.
He would have been an awesome varsity football player.
He was mean. Mean as hell. All right, let's get to the Texans here. D'Amico Ryans talked about.
Plus, his dad was the local mob boss.
Yeah. Kids would have laid down for him.
Look, any head football coach that values his own existence is going to be sure Tony finds a way to get on the field.
Kids would have laid down for Tony.
Here's the coach.
Remember Meadows soccer coach was going to leave to go to Rhode Island.
Yeah,
and they
that was funny. Though.
Tried to buy him back, and then
they tried to bully him back into it,
and then it got bad. Go see The Sopranos. That's season one. You don't have to get too far into the series. D'Amico Ryans, following the loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night, cited communication issues on the offensive side of the ball when it came to protecting C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, we had communication issues up front, and they got us on some blitzes, things that, you know, we've seen, we work. You know, we have to look at the film to see what those issues were. But we got to, you know, of course, not have those and make sure we're picking things up the right way.
Sean, there was one play. I found the perfect play yesterday. I put it on my live stream, Seth Payne Show on YouTube. That kind of encapsulated everything because it's frustrating sometimes when you try to point out that it's multiple things. So when CJ took a sack on 3rd and 7 with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter, this was the perfect bad football play because everything went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
For one, there was a blitz, very well disguised blitz, a coffee house blitz where Levante David kind of looked at the beginning like he was going to drop off into coverage.
Can I ask you, why do they call it a coffee house blitz?
Because you kind of grind. I think it's because because Levante David kind of looks like he's grinding. Like everything looks like it's grinding in a grinder. Okay. There's a lot of movement. And I don't know exactly. That's a good point.
Just curious. Continue.
So anyway, Ed Ingram is the right guard, and he had a good game. He had a good game. But there's so much going on in front of him that he thinks Levante David's dropping off into coverage. There's a defensive lineman crossing his face, so he goes out to help with one of the other blitzers, and that leaves the A-gap wide open. So CJ's got pressure coming right up the gut, and it should have been handled. It should have been, technically, it was tough. It was well executed by the Bucs. Should have been handled. At the same time, though, there's a little bit of hesitation by the back because of the confusion by the blitz. I think it was Woody Marks, and he got the job done, but not perfectly. So there was pressure coming from the right and behind CJ. Yeah. Well, on the left side of the offensive line, Laken Tomlinson was getting beat physically real, real bad. Yeah. So you had a blitz not picked up.
Yeah.
You had Laken Tomlinson getting beat up, and there was some deception involved with that too, because I'm getting too complicated already, but I'm sorry, everybody. This is where it goes. One of the reasons things got more complicated was that Hassan Reddick was a defensive end, and he made it look like he was going to rush, but then dropped into coverage. So Dalton Schultz stays and helps for a little bit.
Okay.
But then gets out on his route.
Okay.
So are you getting a picture of confusion and mayhem?
Confusion and mayhem,
so
yes.
CJ Stroud.
I am confused.
So CJ's in the pocket and it is collapsing rapidly.
Really fast.
Rapidly. Yeah. It's almost like in a movie where all of a sudden the time bomb starts ticking faster because you clip the wrong wire.
Oh,
and it doesn't blow up, but it's like all of a sudden it's going at double time.
It's happened to me a few times.
So you're like, all right, well, what are CJ's options? And I'm thinking, well, he could have, you know, Nico Collins was one-on-one versus in man coverage on the sideline, and theoretically CJ could have unleashed it to him, but I don't think he had time to plant his feet. He could have dumped it off to Dalton Schultz as soon as he saw it, and he should have. The blitzer that was coming, CJ rightfully thought that it should have been protected, but even if he had seen him coming, because Dalton Schultz had to stay in and block for a beat, he didn't have his eyes on him, and it was just everything fell apart. So that was, I mean, it was a perfect play where everything went wrong, and there's just too much of that right now where it's really hard for CJ, I think, to establish any kind of a rhythm because there's just too often plays where there's multiple things wrong.
So do you agree with D'Amico on communication issues?
I don't think that was a communication issue on that play, other than that's guys needing to, A, play better physically in the case of Laken Tomlinson, B, execute better in terms of picking up the blitz. And I guess the communication part might be if CJ, who's directing traffic, gets a beat on this. This is the hardest part about the quarterback directing traffic is the guys who do it really well get really, really good at sniffing out the blitzes. And they take care of it pre-snap. So they can tell when a defensive end in his stance isn't actually going to rush the passer. They can tell that he's going to drop into coverage. They can tell when a safety is faking a blitz or actually blitzing. And then you can maneuver everything into place. Mm-hmm. And then you can adjust guys' routes. Mm-hmm. You tell a guy, no, you're not running a go. You're running a quick slant or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like they're just so there. That's on CJ's still a young quarterback who's new in this system. there's just enough off all over the place that in any given play, there's just somebody screwing something up.
Okay, so D'Amico says communication. CJ, Ben, CJ says we didn't have communication issues.
I didn't have any communication issues. I thought we split the play pretty clean, and we were just lining up. Some guys weren't set, so I had to get Higgs set on the fourth down. And other than that, I mean, and that's kind of normal, but I didn't really, not anything down there that I can remember.
Okay.
I think, but the difference, by the way, in those two clips is I think D'Amico was talking about on the whole of it for the evening. CJ was talking specifically about when they
Kim
were down,
asked
the,
him specifically
when they were down
about,
on the goal line.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't think CJ was defying necessarily what.
D'Amico said?
CJ was talking about that instance.
Got interpreted by a lot of people that way.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we play the clips. All right. So that was.
But to set the stage, yeah, there are a lot of people interpreting that as these guys aren't on the same page.
Yeah, there's a lot of CJ said this in the D'Amico press conferences, and there's a lot of D'Amico said this in the CJ press conferences. Like CJ, after the game, had this to say, but what do you say? This is the last question of his press conference. What do you say to the team right now?
Yeah, just stay together. Stay committed to one another, trust in one another. You know, the sun arise in the morning. You know, it's not the end of the world. But at the same time, you know, we all get paid a service, you know, to do a job. And, you know, we got to get those jobs done at a faster rate. I think, you know, as a team, we got to just stay together. Everybody's going to talk crazy. And we suck. We this, we that. And at the end of the day, we got to stay together and just mesh well and, you know, be honest, have hard conversations. But, you know, I think right now we need more confidence as an offense, at least, just confident playing better together. I think that's a big thing. We haven't played together, a lot of us. So the more confidence that we build, I think the better that we'll be off.
That's where I do think if D'Amico started to sense that maybe guys were starting to question or lose faith or hope or anything. I mean, I'm not bending over backwards to make this take or to give this take. I think it's very fair and accurate. You say, look, we did a lot of sloppy, stupid stuff in these first two games, and yet at the end of the Chargers game, if it weren't for a Gumbawale doing a sloppy and bad thing, we were putting ourselves in a really good position to win that game versus what I think is a good football team in the Rams. And the second game, it was 4th and 10. Yeah. We had the right play called. Everything was right. One guy, Henry Toa, took a bad angle on a blitz and couldn't make any kind of serious contact.
Would have ended the game.
Would have ended the game right there, and you'd have to be really dumb to not win the game after that point. So, like, those are two. I think the Bucs and the Rams are likely playoff teams. They're both 2-0 right now, and despite a lot of this sloppiness, we are right there. I'm not going out of my way to try to act like the Texans had a chance to win either of those games. It was 4th and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is to convert 4th and 10? And so, like, if you clean some of this stuff up on offense, you don't have to have the best offense in the world. With a few minor improvements in either of those games, you win those football games.
No turnovers in the game, so that was good. That was an improvement over week one.
Yeah.
No turnovers for the Texans offense.
You know, and the other part, too, I'm not making excuses, but just trying to kind of lay it out. The two defenses that he's faced are really, really good at disguising coverages, disguising looks at the snap, all of those things. So as you're trying to run this new offense and you're also trying not to turn the ball over, when I say CJ looks maybe overly methodical or maybe a little too rigid in going through his progressions, I think some of that is in, like, he understands that, like, he's probably not really seeing everything with the comfort level that he wants to.
Yeah.
So, like, that does that cause him to tense up a little bit and not play free and loose? I think 100% possible. But it's we got to see improvement over the next few weeks.
Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when asked about CJ's confidence comments that we just played.
I address is, are we doing what we're coached to do? Like, that's what it all boils down to. How do you gain confidence, right? Well, you have to earn confidence. And you earn confidence by doing things well. And when you do things well, you have success. Like, you hit a couple plays here and there, then you're going to get confidence, right? And that's what it's just continue to stay after it. Don't make it bigger than what it is, right? Let's execute what we're asked to execute. Do things how we're coached to do it, and then that confidence will definitely start to pick up.
By the way, answer for why it's called a coffee house blitz. So a blitz where...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A blitz when a linebacker acts like he's dropping into coverage and then blitzes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with his AI explanation. The term coffee house refers to the start and stop, somewhat deliberate movement of the defender as they fake a drop and then re-engage in the rush.
Okay.
It's a coach speak term that uses the analogy of someone waiting in line for coffee.
Oh, really?
I don't know what that...
Do people start to move up in line and then move
then
back
move backwards
in line?
Yeah. And then get back in line? You know what it is? It's like somebody, you know what it is? It's somebody who is annoyingly deliberating like what their order should be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, a latte?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if I like that. I'll just have a black coffee. Oh, that's boring.
Right.
Do you have samples? Yeah.
Or they work their way up in line to look inside the glass case to see what like the Danish is and the croissants
are.
Get back in line. Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with this explanation.
A good coffee house has good grub to go with it.
I'm thank you for asking that question though, because I called it a coffee house blitz without even thinking about why it's called.
That's all right.
I've never thought to question it.
Yeah.
There's so many stupid terms in football that I stopped questioning things long ago. Like, why is an offensive tackle called a tackle? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know why it's an offensive tackle.
If he tackles somebody, it's a holding penalty.
Right.
It's a good point. And the halfback is actually the one that's all the way back. It should be the full. He should be called the fullback. He's full the way back. The fullback is halfway up to the line of scrimmage. He should be the halfback.
I think that goes back to the wishbone in their alignments.
Whatever. Dumb to me.
Yeah.
a lot of people reading into CJ's mood. I think that was part of what was going on with Ron yesterday.
Yeah.
The show was a lot of people reading tea leaves right now. Nobody loves being 0-2. Let's just start with that. But I would say it goes back to training camp. This would be one of those things that if CJ had the mood that he's conveying right now in press conferences and whatnot, and the Texans were 2-0, we would be talking about how serious he is. But they're 0-2, so people are talking about how either upset or depressed he might be over this.
Mm-hmm.
I think overall he's like kind of been way more even keel and DJ Bienname had an article in ESPN about that this week about how he's confirming that he intentionally dialed a lot of stuff back in the offseason.
He could have been part of it was wanting to be true to his faith and I don't want to make it sound like it's difficult like the worst struggle in the world or anything, but for professional athletes who are devout, you're trying to be unworldly, and yet like being a quarterback in the NFL is the most worldly thing there is.
Yeah.
So like trying to strike that balance is difficult.
Yeah. He could have been on Quarterback. Did you hear that?
Right. Yeah.
He had offers to be on
the Netflix series Quarterback. And he turned it down.
Who would you wish he replaced out of who was on it again? It was Burrow, Goff, and Cousins.
Burrow, Goff.
So if we were playing Kiss, Marry, Kill, who would be the kill, and we'd swap in CJ?
Cousins was an unexpected delight on the first one. I like the mic'd up stuff just because it was
he's corny as hell.
He's corny, but it's kind of charming.
Yeah,
there's a lot to like about him, and he just takes a beating and keeps on ticking.
Yeah,
takes a licking and keeps on.
I end up liking all three guys on this season
Goff,
of Quarterback.
Goff seems kind of boring.
Goff's wife is awesome, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got a lot of her. I mean, she's beautiful. She's an SI swimsuit model, but she's like a really cool athlete wife.
Yeah.
You know, that pulls out the playbook and quizzes him on it and things like that. Gets into the games.
You are right, by the way, in that fullback is a stupid term, because in the early days of American football, you called it a quarterback because he was a quarter of the way back.
Thank you.
And then they had the halfback, which sounds like the fullback because he was halfway back. And then
they called it
the fullback was the guy in the back.
You're welcome.
That's why tailback is a better word.
Definitely.
That makes more sense. He's the tail of that offensive formation.
Thank you very much.
But somewhere along the way, they decided, like, no, the fullback is actually the guy who's the halfback.
It's stupid.
Yeah, halfway
yeah,
back.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's the coffee house blitz of
good
position.
Job, Sean.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
You are accomplishing so much this morning.
I know. It's been a good show.
It's only 8:18.
I credit Michael Chiklis with that.
Yes.
He came in bringing hellfire and brimstone. He was almost, I think he wanted to pick a fight with you.
Because I always
your Brady comments.
I said that Brady seemed a little bit desperate.
Yeah.
to be in the public eye.
Right after Chiklis said he named his dog after Brady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh yeah, no, he was having fun because he said, "Where am I from?" And I had to confess that I may or may not have grown up a Bills fan.
Buffalo area. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was when I was a Bills fan back in the day. The Patriots were an afterthought.
Oh, they were trashed. Because you know? That was when I was living in New England.
I should have started talking smack about Steve Grogan or
something. Yeah, Tony Eason.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, there was an apology this week for one of the funniest viral moments that we've seen in a long, long time. Seth and I are going to do what we do every now and again, put it through the Payne and Pendergast apology raider. We will do that coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
I Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Texans Jags on Sunday, must win on Sunday.
I would say
I know you don't like the literal.
I hate the non mathematical must win, but I get it.
This is close.
This is close to a must win.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a divisional foe, a word that nobody ever uses unless they're proceeding.
And it's the magnificent Gladstone,
it's
too.
It's Jimmy Gladstone.
Jimmy Gladstone.
Jimmy Gladstone redefining our expectations about the way football and the world operates by having a wide receiver go 3 receptions for 22 yards and then 2 bad plays as a cornerback at the end of the game. Yes.
Hey,
yes.
By the way, and we're going to run Ken Rosenthal's apology for mean mugging a cameraman over the weekend. Earlier this week, we're going to put it through the Payne and Pendergast apology meter.
Mm-hmm.
But you do realize as well this Jacksonville game is on the road, which means that the 11-game road winning streak in the division is on the line here. Texans have not lost a divisional road game since David Culley's first divisional road game as Houston Texans head coach.
And you went through the probability chart on that.
I've got what a parlay was.
You were very impressed with this long ago, and I was like, what are you talking about?
I was impressed when it got to like 8 because it covers the Culley and Lovey seasons.
Yeah.
Those were bad football teams.
My knee-jerk reaction was like, all right, yeah, but it's the AFC South, and it's been largely abysmal. But they beat the Titans. They beat some good,
One of those teams is winning the division every year.
Right, winning on it. Right, yeah. It's a pretty impressive streak.
Yeah. So they've won 11 road AFC South games in a row going back to week 11 of the David Culley season. And I won't go through all the results here. We know the Texans win all these games. It is fascinating. A $100 parlay. Yeah. If you had just taken $100, bet it on the Texans and the Titans back in week 11 and won your $350 because it was plus 350, then took that 350 and rolled it over and kept doing it again and again and again and again, your $100 would pay $2.4 million.
Oh, man. And, you know, and I was thinking
do not poo-poo
this
streak.
I was thinking about doing that back
You could
there.
Buy was, an army of cigarette
remember that one morning
that?
Where I was like, should I invest this money or should I
David Culley.
Find a bookie that's going to give me
against the defending division champs
every road game for the next however many years.
For the next almost four years.
Yeah, so it's been a weird little...
It's a weird streak.
Yeah, it's a weird streak.
It's an impressive streak. Anytime you have a long winning streak, that's impressive. It's I don't know if you know this, Seth. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
you've been told
as
that before?
Coaches will remind
you
every single week.
It's hard to win in the
Always
NFL.
After a loss.
Yep. Yes. So that's on the line this weekend, man. Take it to 12. Let's get it to 14.
I'll tell you, the one big thing I'd like to see is that, the Texans defense is... They've done a good job of keeping teams out of the end zone by and large. They've held two good teams, two good quarterbacks to 17 points per game. And yet the fourth quarter letdowns or just not doing it when they really, really need to do it has been the disappointing part of the defense.
Yes.
And everything, you know, we've talked about the reasons for why they've underperformed a little bit. But really taking the ball away is the big thing that,
so far.
I was the first guy that was saying all offseason long, look, sometimes turnovers are kind of flukish. You can't always rely on a team being good with turnovers from one year to the next. But this team still does have really good defensive backs, and they still have a really good pass rush.
Yeah,
lead to turnovers.
They're going to come. I'm not worried about that part at all.
That's one of the biggest things. That flips the script in both of these last two games. One more turnover in each of these games.
Hey.
It's not a stretch at all to say, okay, there. That's how that close game becomes a victory.
It's gotten lost in the wash because so much happened after it, and it was early in the game. If Azeez Al-Shaair makes that interception on the Bucs' first drive, we might be talking about a totally different ball game.
I softened on that a little bit. In the moment, watching in real life, and because we had the view where Azeez Al-Shaair was facing us as he was trying to make that catch, it looked like an easier catch than it actually was. Yeah. I mean, he had to lay out for it, and but it was a very catchable
ball.
Yeah.
It's a catchable ball, and I know I interviewed Azeez at the Greenbrier when you and I were there. And after practice, and I had to wait like an hour. Why? Because he was working on his hands.
Yeah.
He had an assistant coach out there throwing him footballs where his back was to the coach, and he would have to turn around and react to what side it was being thrown to him. Because I asked him why he was doing it that way, and he said, well, when you're a linebacker, you're in coverage. Oftentimes, your back is to the ball.
Right, and then you got to turn and adjust to it.
So that's why I felt bad for him, because like he's been diligent about working on that.
I feel bad for West Virginia Sean that he made you wait an hour for something that wasn't doing a damn thing for him.
Dude.
You're like, yeah, thanks for making me wait.
I didn't mind.
That's what you said to me next in the press box. Waited for an hour for this?
I would have been pissed if it was Houston and it was 98 degrees outside.
Yeah.
In West Virginia, I'm just looking at the mountains. I'm like, this ain't too bad.
Singing John Denver songs to yourself.
Yeah,
and
man.
Everything.
Yeah.
Go for a hike later.
That's it. All right, so Ken Rosenthal, this was funny. This week, and Ken Rosenthal, reporter for The Athletic and sideline reporter for Fox, was doing the Brewers game, whoever the Brewers are playing this weekend, and he's doing an interview with a Milwaukee Brewer after the game for TV, on national TV, and in the middle of the interview, the teammates of whoever it was that hit the winning homer or whatever, they come up with the water jug, and he can see it coming, so he backs away. He doesn't want to get soaked. Don't want to get that bow tie wet.
Right.
You know, he's got his drip going. And so he backs up Ken Rosenthal, and he backs right into a photographer who's kind of down on a knee doing his job.
Yeah.
And he knocks the guy over, and instead of turning around, like my reaction would have been, not that I'm this great human being, my reaction would have been to turn and like try to help the guy.
Or just at least show level of concern. Like, oh no, are you okay?
You okay?
Yeah,
you okay?
Like every single time you see a football player who's in the middle of a game and runs into somebody on the sideline, sometimes they'll ignore him completely. They never turn and glare at the person.
Ken Rosenthal.
Why were you standing
Ken
there?
Ken Rosenthal, this puny little worm, mean mugs the guy, like, yeah. like stands
and he
over
did
him
did the like, little like the did the little one little hand like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like standing over him like
no, it really was like, what are you doing?
Like Muhammad Ali in that iconic picture, like standing over his opponent. And so it got a lot of attention. It got Ken Rosenthal's attention. And he, on Monday, went on social media and informed us that he apologized personally to that photographer. And then I think was also just apologizing in general.
When I looked at the video, when I saw this, I was surprised at how upset I appeared. I was more confused than anything. Now, I had to continue the interview. We were live, folks, on national television. Couldn't stop.
So brave.
And that said, I felt awful about what happened. And afterward, I went up to Scott, who I've worked with in pits before over the years, and I apologized. And I apologized profusely because, let's face it, I don't think that you ever expect knocking someone down is going to happen in any particular situation. So yeah, sure, I apologized. And Fox is doing the American League playoffs this year, so I won't see the Brewers again unless it's the World Series. But if I do see the Brewers in the World Series, I look forward to working with Scott again in the photo pit. And I also look forward to sharing a good laugh with him over this.
Okay, so it wasn't necessarily an apology video. He's informing us that he apologized
to
Scott Paulus,
the
photographer.
Do you have our apology meter?
I do.
There?
Let's just run through it here real quick. Okay, there's six elements to an apology in the Payne and Pendergast world. First is say you're sorry. Not that you regret or not that you're devastated, that you are sorry.
And it sounds like he did that.
I think it sounds like he
says he apologized profusely, but maybe his version of the apology is like, hey, I didn't expect to get knocked over there. It was so weird. Times were crazy, babe.
Ken Rosenthal,
we were just talking.
I tell you what, even though he looks like a jerk in the video, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he is typically a very accurate reporter. I'm going to say that he was accurately reporting on his own apology to this guy. All right, that's number one. Number two, say what it is you're apologizing for. Be specific.
Okay, now he didn't...
He mentioned the look on his face.
He mentioned the look on his face. Yeah. That's true. That's more, and that
he sounded a little disgusted with himself, which
he
I
did
think
sound.
Helps.
You know what? He did sound. It's like whenever you do anything that you try to figure out afterwards. Wait, why the hell did I say that? Or why did I do that? We do that all the time as humans. No. We have this vision of ourselves and how we would act in certain situations, and you don't know why you did what you did.
Here's the worst part about stuff like this: is not just the video society we live in now. It's the freeze frame society we live in, because there were people taking up for Ken Rosenthal when he did the hand thing you were talking about.
Yeah,
he put the one left hand puts his palm up out of disgust. He's like, "What is this guy doing?"
Yeah,
there were people who froze that and said, "Look, he put his hand out to help him up."
Right? Yeah.
I'm like, wait a second.
No, he did sound. He sounded kind of shocked.
Yeah,
and by doing so, I think he was. He was basically communicating that, the way I reacted in that moment is not the way you should react.
Right.
He didn't say that specifically, but as he very nobly told us, he had a job to do.
He had a job to do,
He basically sounded like a first responder at 9/11 something. You know, like, listen,
Ken Rosenthal.
I saw my buddy go down, but we had a job to do, I had to do it. Yeah,
Ken Rosenthal,
for you.
The hero we need.
I give you a freedom medal. Yeah.
All right, quickly here. Number three, these are the elements of an apology in the world of Payne and Pendergast. Number three, show you understand why it was bad, take ownership, and show that you understand why you caused hurt.
Yeah, I think so. Again,
think
just
that.
Him talking about how shocked he was.
He's doing
looked.
Pretty good. He's doing better than most people do so far.
I think honestly, the transcript wouldn't read as well as him actually hearing his tone of voice.
Yeah,
and
tone helps. That's why video can help or hurt you. It's helping him in this case. Number four, don't make excuses.
There was some excuse making going on there. Nobody expects to get hit in an athletic event.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Never ruin an apology with an explanation.
Yeah. No one expects to bump into a photographer when there's 10 photographers behind
that's
you.
That's where he lost me. Nobody's ever watched nobody's ever scrolled on TikTok a whole boatload of videos of reporters getting hit by other athletes or baseballs or anything else like that. Yeah.
Number five, say why it won't happen again. What steps are you... What he steps did, are you taking?
I do think that he said, you know, he explained that he is going to have a fine working relationship with him in the future. And
yeah,
he'll probably be very nice.
Might see each other at the World
Series. I don't think there need to be reparations here or anything.
Okay, well, it's funny you say that. Number six, if it's relevant, make reparations.
Make reparations.
Yeah, yeah. Quote, I'm going to pay for the dry cleaning.
Yeah.
Just send the bill to me. I'm going to do my best to fix what I did. That sounds like it's somebody apologizing for spilling a bowl of soup on somebody's lap.
Oh, he didn't say that.
No. That was an example. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was an example.
Yeah, the photographer didn't get injured or anything. And even if the photographer did get injured, the crime wasn't him running into the photographer. It was his response afterwards.
But this actually might be, the quote that we use as an example might be applicable here. The view from the camera view of the incident, when the photographer got up, you could see his butt, and his butt was covered in wet clay, dirt from there might have been a dry cleaning.
But that
bill.
But that wasn't Rosenthal's fault.
Yeah,
that was just an accident of just him getting
He knocked him over.
Rosenthal did backpedal aggressively because he didn't want to get his pretty little suit.
Yeah,
he always just looks like his mama dressed him up for Sunday school.
Reparations.
That is on him. Yeah, for him for being a coward. Because he didn't want to get wet.
Did Rosenthal say this very thing to Scott Paulus? I'm going to pay for the dry cleaning. Just send the bill to me.
If I'm standing and watching the log ride at an amusement park, and in a desperate dash to get away from getting wet, I elbow a child in the face.
Right.
That's on me, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that's
dude, you've been doing this a long time. You should be able to see a Gatorade bucket coming from a mile
away.
That's
it. That Gatorade bucket was the log flume ride at an amusement park.
Yeah.
And it's a good analogy. Yes.
What I do.
That is what you do. All right. So Rosenthal, he did all right. Ben, how did he do? 4 out of 5? Because the sixth one didn't count. I was joking about the reparations.
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. He got an 80. All right. Good job, Ken Rosenthal. You little worm. All right. Payne and Pendergast.
This is live television. I need to bring the people to post. I've got to ask a guy how it felt.
Oh, yeah.
How did it feel?
Ken Rosenthal ran towards the buildings, not away from the buildings.
I have 7 questions that I ask on a loop, and I have to ask those questions.
Must ask.
How did it feel? What's it like? What were you thinking? What does this mean? There you go, kids. You can be a sideline reporter.
That's
too.
It. That's all it takes. Biggest thing D'Amico Ryans liked about the Buccaneers game, biggest thing that had him probably have trouble sleeping over this, we have both of those for you from Texans All Access coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
All right, what did you like? What did you not like, D'Amico Ryans? And then this will be the last day we're talking Tampa, probably. We need to move on to Jacksonville. But Monday night game, so everything's kind of pushed back a day. D'Amico Ryans, things you liked, things you didn't like so much.
Yeah, overall snapshot, what I liked from our special teams unit, right? The way our special teams unit, you know, really ignited a fire in our team. They gave us a chance to win the game. Like, Noel returning the football there did an outstanding job of setting the team up to be able to get a block punt there and the pressure to punt another time. Really outstanding job to force a missed field goal. Man, you talk about impact plays in a special teams game. That was huge for us. Offensively, what I liked, we got in the end zone. Yeah. We did get in the end zone, which we didn't do the first week. So definitely taking strides there. CJ to Nico, that connection. Really nice touchdown there. Seeing Chubb run the football well again. Another week and get in the end zone. Some positives there. How our communication, how urgent we were getting in and out of the huddle, right, to give ourselves the time that we needed. Thought that was an improvement from week one. And defensively, I thought we improved on the third downs as we continue to progress through the game. It didn't start great, but third down, we did improve on the third down, giving ourselves a chance to get off the field to get the offense the ball back.
All right, so that was D'Amico Ryans. We'll get to what he didn't like in just a second. But I'll say this, the part about the offensive, the operation, you know, prior to the snap of the football.
Yeah, that was a lot less frenzied. And that was one of the things that I really, really wanted to see because I promised people that that's what we would see headed into week one, and we didn't.
Should they have played more in the two things. Should the, because we're still talking about operational stuff in going into week three of getting out of the huddle.
Yeah.
Getting out of the huddle. A, should they have played more in the preseason games, the first team offense? And B, should the first team offense maybe have gotten some snaps against the second string defense at some point?
Ones versus
camp?
Twos, yeah.
You know, just to gain a little confidence that CJ was talking about?
I thought
about
that, you know, and I kind of floated that idea, and some people thought like, well, that's, I don't know, that's it feels like
you
you're
learn by doing hard
putting them
things
in a remedial class or whatever. It doesn't have to feel that way to the offense. They don't have to need to know that's what you're doing. Going ones versus twos happens a lot, depending on which team you're on. So,
this is the first camp I ever remember a coach doing like exclusively one, twos, twos, threes, threes.
I don't know. I can't remember. I guess it varied from year to year.
Yeah.
I don't think it didn't have to look like it was a remedial thing or anything. Yeah. I thought that that might have been a good thing in the first couple weeks of camp, especially because there's times like, okay, if you learn how to, you know, trying to learn how to ride a unicycle before you learn how to ride a bike.
Right.
I'm guessing it's harder. There's certain things that...
You're on fire today.
I don't know. Fact check me on that. Unicyclists out there, tell me, are there any unicyclists who didn't first learn how to ride a bicycle? I desperately need to talk to you and do a podcast with you. My dad was a real bastard.
Threw me straight on the unicycle.
That feels like something Tiger Woods' dads would do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All these other kids are riding bikes.
Oh,
like, no,
dude.
There's a unicycle, Tiger.
Marv Marinovich is throwing Todd up on a unicycle.
So, I thought that like, in terms of just getting everything down and just seeing how things operate, getting things working so you can feel doing it right, maybe they could have done a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Because it felt like they were bashing their head against the wall the first couple of weeks. The other part, though, too, is that I think, you know, sometimes practicing with more crowd noise at practice and everything, all those things can help out a lot. You want to simulate real-world conditions. So we still haven't seen them execute well on the road, like the pre-snap stuff, where the communication issues are more of an issue. And it's all of these things. It's these little things that snowball into big things. It's communicating to somebody that he needs to, you know, a wide receiver needs to move in 5 yards. All of that stuff. Every time something like that takes two extra seconds, it starts adding up. You know, when you're talking about getting to the line of scrimmage with 20 seconds left on the play clock, those seconds add up when there's a miscommunication or it's harder to communicate. And they just, on the road, they didn't handle it well. at home in a pleasant environment, they did a lot better. Jacksonville, probably not going to be as loud as it was in L.A., but still, there's going to be way more noise than there is at home.
Let me give you a variable for that Jacksonville game. Then we'll get into what D'Amico didn't like here in just a second. This is the first trip back to Jacksonville since the Azeez Al-Shaair Trevor Lawrence incident last year.
And Brian Thomas Jr. looks terrified to touch the football.
But I'm talking about from a crowd involvement standpoint. Like, do you think that Jacksonville, I'm guessing they're talking about this leading up to this game. I'm guessing that's a huge talking point, is this is the first time these two teams have faced off since what was, let's be honest, it was the story in the NFL the next 2 days on all the debate shows. Mm-hmm. Should Azeez Al-Shaair be suspended for the rest? He ended up getting suspended 3 games. Should he be suspended for the rest of the year? Is he the dirtiest player in football? Nick Caserio had a press conference just to sit there and basically MF the NFL over the statement they put out about Azeez Al-Shaair. Like, this was a huge, huge deal, and this is the first time these two teams will be playing, and it's in the very stadium where it happened last year.
I think
they'll
be amped up for it. A lot of Jaguars fans are convinced that the Texans are the dirtiest team in all of football, and they choose to ignore that Trevor Lawrence didn't go on IR because of his concussion.
That's true.
He went on IR because his shoulder was a mess.
That did not end his season. His shoulder was bad enough that
he was already playing like crap in that game. The best thing that could have happened for that team to have a chance at winning was for Trevor Lawrence to stop playing football.
Mac Jones gave them a chance in that game.
But that's not how they remember it.
No.
So I think they're going to be amped up for that. Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of... A lot of booze raining down on Azeez Al-Shaair.
No doubt.
But I do think that Brian Thomas Jr., for whatever reason now, is terrified to catch the football.
That's something to watch. And
one of the things is Liam Cohen is having him run different routes over the middle more than he used to have to before.
They're asking
him to have a more physically courageous style of football.
Yep.
And he's got to go up against Azeez Al-Shaair, who hangs out in the middle of the field. There you go.
He does. He hangs out in the middle of the field, and he tackles people.
Sometimes.
Texans tackling on Monday, not great. Not great. And it kept D'Amico Ryans up at night, I would imagine. Here's D'Amico on the tackling.
I wish it was just one. I think the thing that stuck to me was just drives like, man, tackling.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that just continued to eat at me, is just like the tackling, where we tackle really well the first week.
Right.
And then you come out the second week and it was not good enough, right? And it wasn't winning football. And ultimately, that's what the game came down to, is tackling. So that's the one that sticks me. But something we can do it. It's just a matter of, man, are you consistently dialed in? How bad do you want to get the guy down? Right. How urgent are you to wrap guys up?
Right.
Like, a lot of times, trying to tackle with one arm, which doesn't work in this league, and our guys know that, right? We didn't need more evidence to show that it doesn't work. It doesn't work, so we got to wrap guys up, take them to the ground.
I watched that on YouTube, in the first 15 seconds when he realizes his answer is tackling, he looks so depressed.
That's something that hits him
personally.
He's
an inside linebacker. Right. You know, he was one of the best tacklers in football back in the day.
And his teams have not been good tackling teams over the last couple of years.
They've not.
And, you know, I annoyingly complain about it all the time. Partly because, for that very dynamic you just said, it seems like of all things that D'Amico's team would be bad at, tackling shouldn't be one of them.
Correct.
And yet it is. And I think that I think for D'Amico, it's a reminder. Okay, the tackling was pretty good in week one. In week two, it fell apart really, really glaringly so at the end of the game. That it's not one of these things that you fix and then you don't think about it again. It's just constant emphasis all the time. And as the season goes on, it's harder and harder because you're practicing in pads less and less. But it's all about you can practice good tackling without pads and without going to the ground or even without contact. It's about, in practice, getting the right approach, following through with your feet, not just tagging off on guys. And, you know, D'Amico said you got to have the want to. I think all those guys want to. Problem is they want to hit guys first and foremost.
Yeah.
The one thing if you go back and watch Ronnie Lott play, the cool thing about Ronnie Lott is people love to say, oh, he'd never make it in today's NFL, which is complete garbage, because his whole philosophy was, I'm gonna turn a form tackle into a huge hit.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lott got big hits because he was first and foremost in position to make a form tackle. And then just by driving his legs through and uncoiling into guys, he had some huge hits too. He wasn't launching at people with an elbow or head first or anything like that. Like it was, it started with good form tackling, and it's just it's inattention to detail, and it's not acceptable by this squad. It's really
well.
I've been harder on the defense in some ways than the offense, even though they've played better, because I know they're capable of much, much more than they've shown the first couple.
Not only is it not acceptable, they can't have it if they want to win game. Like it's essential that they tackle well just to stay in and win close football games.
If this team is going to be carried by the defense, they can't be just a pretty good defense.
Thank
they
you.
They gotta be the absolute best.
Okay, let's stick with this because along those lines, we're 2 weeks in and narratives are starting to form.
Narratives
based on records here.
Okay,
what are the narratives that we're seeing since that win by Tampa Bay that change if Henry Toa tackles Baker Mayfield on 4th and 10? We'll do that coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.